Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show. Fox Sports Radio. Man, hope you're having a great day. Hope you're ready. We got outstanding show for you. Outstanding show for you. Including just how big yesterday's press conference was for Deshaun Watson. Get to that. Sean Miller fired at Arizona. Why'd it take so long? Who's next? We'll get to that. A former star wide receiver at Florida State arrested on murder charges. Yeah, that happened. John Middlecoff's going to join us. We'll figure out Mac Jones 3. Like, are we really going to believe that or somebody else? Plus, we'll take you inside the association. Kevin Durant coming back. And I do have some info on Anthony Davis and why he hasn't played in such a long period of time. Let's start, though, with this story. Deshaun Watson hasn't spoken but is in the news. Now, here's the deal. Positive equity is like change in your pocket. Now, one of the things, I am across the street and down a block from where our studios are located is a Whole Foods. And I oftentimes will park my car there because it has specific parking for my vehicle. It also is a great place to go and grab a little quick by lunch. I'll sit outside. Even now during COVID, they have spaced out tables. You can put your mask on or whatever and read stories and call people. And you know, Southern California, it's actually in the Valley. If you know anything about Southern California, the Valley's a little bit warmer than LA, a little bit warmer than Orange County. So oftentimes, you know, 10 in the morning, I'll get there, open up the laptop, and I'm there for like an hour and a half. It's nice and warm. It's good. But it does strike me when I see a homeless person asking for change. Like, how can I look myself in the mirror, go to Whole Foods, which means I'm spending way more than I need to spend on the exact same groceries that you spend them on at a non-Whole Foods, and then not like give somebody 75 cents out of my pocket. Right? I mean, I have friends that they will not give change to somebody who's begging. They just won't. They'll put it, you know, they'll put it in tzedakah. They will put it for, you know, at the little register. They'll give it as tips, but just to somebody begging, they won't. Everybody has their own thing, and I'm not going to judge you for yours. My dad, when he died, did he have credit cards? Yes. It was before the days of Apple Pay. But my dad always had change in his pocket. Was your dad that way? Like, the way my parents' house was situated, my bedroom was in the front. And he would come home and he had a Buick Regal. He had other cars, but that's the one I remember most, is the Buick Regal. And then he moved on to the Toyota Avalon, which is the Buick Regal of Toyotas. Anyway, and I remember the door would, you know, like American-made 1990s cars, the doors, it's not exactly flush, you know, when you close the doors. And then you'd hear, shh, shh, shh. Now, he kind of dragged his feet as he walked, but it was the distinct sound. And he would always, like, go down and put his change down at the end of the, I don't know. Part of it was he would always buy, we live in Southern California, the New York Post. He would buy other newspapers, and he, for some reason, when the National was out, he bought the National Sports. He would have, I think that's why he'd have quarters. I don't really know. But he always had change. I never have change now, or very, very rarely. But the other day, my daughter was going through, and she's about to turn 15. She like found my little change stash. And I see her like divvying it up and counting up. She's like, Dad, there's $12.79 here. And I was like, look, you just save change for when you need it, for a rainy day, for that, oh, I got to tip the guy who brought the pizza, or I got to run up and grab coffee and my phone's dead and I can't charge it, or ooh, somebody needs, you know, a couple bucks in their pocket to go, you know, hang out with friends just so they have money to have money. Like, that's the change is there. That's essentially what positive equity is. It's change in your pocket that you try and cash in. And right now, like, Deshaun Watson has a ton of change in his pocket from his time in the NFL. But that change, it's like he's taking it all out. And keep in mind that David Mulgeta is his agent. I'll be just honest with you. There are times in which my dad would have this big mound of change and I would be wanting to go to the arcade. And I would go in and grab four quarters, put in my pocket and ride down the street to the arcade, unbeknownst to him. Right. That's what David Mulgeta, his agent, has done to Deshaun Watson. Remember, Mulgeta is the one who he was Dwayne Haskins' agent. And Dwayne Haskins, when he got benched, this is a year ago, he came after the agent, went after the organization. You know, since then, of course, Dwayne Haskins has been cut by the Redskins and he fired David Mulgeta. Jalen Ramsey was a guy who quit on his team and got traded. He's a Mulgeta client. And that's really many people believe the impetus behind Deshaun Watson asking out. I don't know. Like, I have lots of friends who are in football and they asked this question a couple weeks ago. And now it's there is a portion of us which is like, hey, it's weird. He says he wants out of Houston. It becomes very personal. All of a sudden, these stories come out of nowhere. I don't think that's any kind of a setup. I think it's really hard to imagine that you could get 22 women together and plan some sort of setup because a guy wants to leave the Texans. And, oh, yeah, by the way, in the process of doing this, it crushes his value on the open market to trade Deshaun Watson, right? Like this, that would be a weird, weird thing. But they just not a lot of positive equity out there, whether Mulgeta stole some of the coins or whether Deshaun doesn't have enough. Yesterday, the initial like accuser A came out and said Deshaun Watson violated her. That something that she wanted to do her whole life was be a massage therapist. Now she can't do it because of what happened with Deshaun Watson. Then today it appears corporate America. Now look, corporate America, they will jump ship quicker than anybody, but you can understand it on some level. Beached by Dre is parting ways with Deshaun Watson. Now, Nike is suspending its relationship, okay? Releasing the statement, we're deeply concerned by the disturbing allegations and have suspended Deshaun Watson. We'll continue to closely monitor the situation. In other words, you're like, that's basically how everybody feels. Like, I don't know what to make of this deal. I thought he was the greatest, and now I don't know. Reliant Energy, which of course they sponsor the stadium, is not continuing its relationship with Deshaun Watson as a brand ambassador. My guess is even if Watson comes back, Nike is one, and they have experience on this with Tiger Woods, right? Where they can suspend their partnership for a while, but we want to hold on to it. And then if it becomes an image rebuild, then we can stay alongside him. But the power to somebody putting their name and face out there, as opposed to just accuser who you can't, the power to that you can see in how corporate America has reacted. And Deshaun Watson's going deep into his pockets and searching for change of, hey, look, we got this great relationship. You know, I play with a collapsed lung. I've done all the right things. How can you do this to me? And they're like, yeah, but I mean, the woman just went on national TV and said that she can't work because you sexually harassed her and you sexually abused her. Like, I don't know. We don't know. You leave us in a no-win situation. That's a massive sea change in what happened, not just 2 weeks ago when this all came out and he went from, you got to move him, world's greatest guy, to, I don't know if he'll ever play in the NFL, and people calling for him to immediately be placed on the commissioner's exempt list. But I just, all I can think of is that change in the pocket analogy and how you just want to have, hey man, just here, I'm good for it. Here's all the change in my pocket. Hold on to my credit card. I'll come back. I'll settle up later. Is that cool? And right now people are like, yeah, that's not really cool. We can't do that. We'll hold on to this food. Like, you ever done that? You go to a grocery store and you pick out all the favorite things and you were getting ready to cook dinner that night. and you're super excited. I'm a grocery store guy. I enjoy going and picking out the ingredients and cooking it. I enjoyed the entire thing. I do. I'm crazy that way. I don't get bothered by where I park in the grocery store. Like, that's dumb. I don't care. Yeah, do I want to pay 10 cents more for bags? Yeah, what the hell? It's 10 cents more. Fine. You know, paper or plastic? Plastic. I use the plastic ones as, to pick up dog poops as well. Right? Like, I enjoy. Some people don't like grocery store. I love the grocery store experience. But do you ever do that? You go through the grocery store experience and you get to the front of the line, you're like, oh, God, I forgot my wallet. I forgot my wallet. And there's this big line of people. And there's like a lady behind you like, are you serious? Are you serious? Are you serious? Did you really forget? You're like, I meant to forget my wallet. Do you think I want to go race home and get my wallet and come back? Do you take Apple Pay? Like, no, we take Google Pay. Like, yeah, I'm an Apple Pay guy. They're looking back. That's where Deshaun Watson is. He's at the front of that line. They're like, sir, we're going to hold on to all this food. And if you want to go home and get your money and come back, you know, you can hop back in line. You can run back through. Like, oh my God, that's where he is. That's where he is. What do you think? At Gottlieb shows the Twitter handle 877-99 on Fox. Crazy though, that when corporate America starts to bail, you start to go like, oh boy, this is not going in the right direction. And I can't blame them based upon the press conference and what was said in the press conference. Look, devoid of any sort of evidence. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know what, when, how, who, what. I'm not. We'll all learn of that evidence. But the power of a woman being willing to put her name and face to something like this and look the camera in the eye and say, this is what happened to me and Deshaun Watson did it. Corporate America reacts and he can dig through his pockets all he wants. There's no equity to cash in at this point. You got to find a way to beat this thing.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio, remind you when a train hits a vehicle or railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossing if the signals are going. Don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks. Even if you don't see a train stop, trains can't. Brought to you by NHTSA. You know, college jobs are weird. Weird. Because, you know, some guys, some people, they, at the second they have a bad season, they're out. Some guys, you know, they have, again, we talked about the cash in your pocket, the equity to cash in and hang on. Sean Miller's done an excellent job on the floor. Excellent. And Sean Miller is a good basketball coach. He just is. But he hasn't done a ton to ingratiate himself with some of the Arizona community. And then the easiest way to ingratiate yourself with the Arizona community is to win games in the NCAA tournament. And they haven't gotten to a Final Four. Now, had they made the NCAA tournament? Yeah, they made the NCAA tournament. They did not make it the last 3 years. Obviously, one of those years they were on probation. 1 year they didn't have the tournament. This year was the probation year. And they didn't make it when they were 17 and 15. And that was after a lot of the hullabaloo came out, 2 years after all the hullabaloo came out. But he was fired earlier today. He's owed just below $2 million. And for people who go like, why didn't they? Look, it's harder to buy people out than you think. First, you know, there isn't a donor alive that wants to pay money for somebody to not coach their school. There's not, like, you got to be really go crossways with somebody to go like, hey, how about you give me $1 million or $500,000 and we're going to fire that coach? No, what you got to do as the athletic director is say, give me $500,000 towards the next head coach. Now, the problem with that is oftentimes the boosters have a greater sense of who should be hired than the reality of the situation. Nonetheless, he was fired today, which brings us to, if you read the tea leaves, and I've heard Tommy, they've said Tommy Lloyd from Gonzaga, that's a done deal. I've had people tell me that, text me that today. Tommy Lloyd, I've known for a long time. He is the right-hand man of Mark Few. And that would be a colossal mistake. Not because Tommy Lloyd's a bad guy or a bad coach. I have zero bad things to say about Tommy Lloyd. But if you're going to hire a guy who's not a head coach and you have a Miles Simon who's been an assistant and now an assistant in the NBA and played at Arizona, like what are you doing? And if you want to hire a guy with as a head coach, you have Damon Stoudemire's coaching it at Pacific, who's been a great player, been in Arizona, been a grinder assistant. He's done all those things. Like, look at the tea leaves. All of those, the big jobs, Oklahoma's the only one that didn't hire a guy who went to Oklahoma. Carolina hired a Carolina guy. Indiana hired an Indiana guy. Texas hired a Texas guy. Does that mean, like, Mark Few's not a Gonzaga guy? I mean, Scott Drew's not a Baylor guy, and he got the, you know, he took Baylor, won a national championship. Bill Self is not a Kansas guy. He's an Oklahoma State guy. He's won a national championship, won league championships over at KU. So it is not a prerequisite always for success, but I do think, one, in this landscape, you're coming off of a white coach. I think you got to look at a more diverse hire. Two, you get a guy who's from outside the area, and you want to get a guy who's one of our guys, right? You always want to do the opposite. And three, like, it's I like Tommy Lloyd a great deal. I have no reason to think he would do a bad job. But what is the point of giving him an opportunity that you have alums that have done the same amount of work, if not more so, should get? I think that's my personal take on it.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Amy Dash joins us now, we got to dig in on this. She's a Fox Sports Radio legal analyst. Follow her on Twitter, at Amy Dash TV. I want to get into yesterday, Amy, but from a legal standpoint, okay, give me your overall thoughts on how is it Tony Busby, how he's gone about this, where it started with, I think, one case and, you know, survivor or plaintiff A or whatever was yesterday, but it has grown into this 22 people possible. Give me your sense legally, what's going on between Deshaun Watson and this lawyer?
Well, first of all, I appreciate you having me on. I know we've had some of our side discussions off the court about some of these legal issues, so I really appreciate being on the show. In terms of Tony Busby, there are two Tony Busbys for me. There's Tony Busby, who's out there in the press. You know, he's sort of a flamboyant attorney who's garnering all this attention, sometimes negative attention, and people think he's really playing the media to his advantage and possibly exploiting women, you know, just to be able to make money. That's what a lot of people feel. And then there's Tony Busby, who we saw at the press conference, who was humble, who was compassionate, who's sitting next to his client, who's pouring her heart out, hysterically crying about the trauma that she says that she endured allegedly from Deshaun Watson, who she says that, you know, she's still having panic attacks, that she can't practice her profession of massage, that she's basically living a nightmare. And Tony Busby is standing beside her, making a plea to other women who may have experienced any type of sexual assault, and really positioning himself as the proponent for female empowerment. So they're two totally different Tony Busbys, and you sort of don't know which way to side. Like, you know, do we like him or do we hate him? It's really hard to figure that out, even for me.
What about the idea that now there's a criminal investigation, but this all stemmed from only civil litigation at first? I mean, there was a couple, like, you know, it's been about 2 weeks now, and the first week and a half was all about civil. It feels like, again, to somebody who's not a lawyer and only watches these things, it feels like cart ahead of horse, but you know more about it. Explain, is this a normal course of action?
It's normal, and I think some of the points were touched upon by Busby and people in his team, objectively, you know, I would say, is that they said, listen, this is a way where women can have control over the process. They can go and try to get redress. Maybe it's monetary compensation for what they say they've been through, without having to go public, especially with a high-profile person, without having to put their life out on display, without having to go through a trial and testify, which can be difficult for people who have survived sexual assault. And I'm not talking about necessarily with Deshaun Watson, because I believe he's innocent until proven guilty, but just in general. And another thing that I thought was really interesting that came out of the presser was that a sexual assault expert said that more than 90% of women who have actually experienced sexual assault never reported to the police. Out of the people who do report it to the police, only 7% go through the actual process all the way to a criminal trial. And then a lot of those cases end up getting pled out by people who are accused, meaning they strike deals. So actually, it's not very unusual to not be filing a police report, but I think the public pressure became so much that this woman who says she's a victim says that she had to come forward and prove that she's a real person. And I think because of all the doubt that was cast on whether Deshaun Watson did this or not, she felt the need to go to the police and file a report because of that public pressure.
Okay, so now what do you think of Rusty Hardin, who of course is his, you got another flamboyant Texas attorney, right? And he comes out and he's like, well, listen, 22 women. I got 18 women over here and said they massaged Deshaun Watson. Nothing happened. Did that help his case?
Oh, I think so, definitely. Because when you're talking about credibility here, I saw some of the evidence that Tony Busby put out yesterday, and I didn't find a lot of it compelling because really it's open to interpretation. It could be read either way. None of the evidence showed definitively that sexual assault took place. So really you're relying on the testimony of some of these women. And so when you have 22 women who are willing to go up there on the stand and testify against one guy, that in and of itself to me is an open and shut case whether he did it or not, because you're going to play to the sympathies of the jury right away. When you have, I mean, look at what the response was with one woman crying. Now imagine 22 women. So if they have an equal amount of women coming forward and saying the complete opposite, sure, that helps. But yesterday in the presser, Tony Busby came out with a direct message from one of the women who had publicly supported Deshaun Watson and showed that she was saying contradictory things behind the scenes, that she was allegedly saying that she had knowledge he was messing with people. She hopes nobody questions her. She warned him not to do the things he was doing. So it shows that this is the strategy. There's going to be an attack on credibility from both sides. Rusty Hardin has already done that. He accused the woman who spoke yesterday of blackmail. Or maybe it was a different woman, but he accused her of hush money, of asking for hush money, $100,000, Ashley believes. And then they accused another woman of asking for $30,000 and trying to blackmail Watson. So you see that this is going to become like a vicious attack on both sides.
Yeah. The one thing is we use this thing like hush money. Like it's a really hard one, right? Because there'll be a portion of people that'll say, well, you're paying hush money means you must have done something wrong. There's another portion of people that say you're paying hush money because you're getting shaken down. Like it's really hard to understand what really did and did not happen. And yet if I'm Deshaun Watson, he can write a check right now and it goes away. He writes one, but it still actually doesn't go away because this becomes so public.
Yeah, and also because if it ends up going the criminal route. So when a lawyer represents a client, they're allowed to try to settle that case. It's not necessarily hush money. I mean, you're right. It can be interpreted as that because people say, well, you came out, you filed this suit, you're only asking for $500. You say it's not about money. But then behind the scenes a couple months before you filed the suit, you were asking for $100,000. How could you want $500 now but $100,000 a few months back? Obviously, you're out for the money. And some people may say, well, you know, I wanted $100,000 because that's the number that I put on what would make me feel as good as I can feel about what allegedly happened to me, you know, or it would avoid me having to go the public route. Now that she's out there, she's filed her police report. Maybe that's the way that she gets justice. Justice can mean a lot of things to a lot of people, depending on balancing the advantages and the disadvantages of going public and having to go through a trial. But it could also be, you know, that she just wants money. It really could be any of the above.
How long till we get some sort of clarity on all this? Because now it's just lawsuits and investigations. And because I understand it doesn't matter as much in the grand scheme of things, but we're a sports show. We don't know what, like Nike pausing is like, Nike is like, look, we want to see what's real, what's not. A lot like they did with Tiger Woods. When will we know more?
Well, I think once the police conclude their investigation, we're going to know more. I really think the NFL is completely on hold until they find out the results of the police investigation. They're doing their own investigation, but I don't think they're going to come public with anything. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe now that Nike has suspended and made them look bad, maybe they'll put them on the exempt list, which they can do. But I think their strategy has always been wait to see if there are criminal charges. Once there are criminal charges from a prosecutor, because right now there's just a police investigation based on a complaint, actually based on more than one complaint. Two women have filed complaints, maybe more. But once there are formal charges, they're definitely going to put them on the exempt list. Mm. So it could be weeks or it could be months before we find that out. But, you know, like people are saying, there's time now.
There is time. Well. There is time, but you do wonder if this is something that even if he didn't do anything wrong, you can ever recover from.
Right? I think he'll recover. That's just my opinion. I really think these things come in like a hurricane and then they disappear. People forget about them. And the next minute, the guy's back on the field. What's interesting to note is this woman who came out very dramatically, you know, upset about what she says happened to her, which, you know, it was really, if you have a heart, you know, you're feeling, if you believe this woman, you're really feeling bad for her.
Sure.
But if you look at her criminal complaint and her civil, if it's based on the civil lawsuit only alleges that he allegedly touched her hand with his genitals. Now, if you go into a criminal court on that, that's a misdemeanor. So that's not even a year in jail. He'd probably get probation or community service if he took a plea deal on that. So we're not talking about a guy who would be going to jail for years based on her criminal complaint. And then most of the other civil suits are of the same nature. There are a couple that would rise to the level of felonies, but we don't know if those women have filed police reports. And if they don't, and even if he gets criminally charged, they're misdemeanors, he pleads them out, he gets a suspension, he's back on the field. So that's one of the scenarios of what could happen.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I don't want to speak out of turn. You've read the documents. You know so much more about it. But like, again, even if, for example, that goes away, right? It's like there's no real criminal complaint because it's a misdemeanor. It's just the idea that his very private business and the nature of some form of contact becomes public. Considering where his reputation was. Right.
Yeah.
Like, here's a guy who, when he wanted to be traded from Houston, there wasn't a soul in the NFL who had anything bad to say about him. What about this? This is an honest question that I've had friends ask. The timing of it is at least peculiar, right? At least peculiar. Now, I don't know how the Texans brass could in any way generate this, but in your mind, should there be something to the actual timing of where these people just happen to come out and say he did these things after he said, under no uncertain circumstances, I want to be traded from Houston?
I really don't think so, because Tony Busby's come forward and dispelled the rumor. He said he doesn't even know the McNair family. He said it's not about them. It's not about the Texans. He doesn't even follow the team. I'm wondering, you know, maybe because he had these things going on where he was approached by some of the women and the attorneys months before this all became public, maybe that was one of the reasons that he requested to be traded. And maybe the pressure was mounting. This is total speculation, but I don't think that the team orchestrated this. What benefit is it for them if they have to pay him and put him on the exempt list? I mean, and just all the horrible negative publicity around it. They haven't released him. You know, they would have a problem with the cap. So I think it puts them in a bad situation, and I don't think that they orchestrated it. And to your other point, it's really interesting about his reputation because, like with Ray Rice, he never got another opportunity. But plenty of people had domestic violence spats where they were suspended and they were back on the field. And then you had Ben Roethlisberger, who was accused of rape, and he was back on the field. You know, Antonio Brown's had a lot of things. He was back on the field. He has a civil suit pending for sexual assault. So it's really such a case-by-case basis, and a lot of these athletes do recover, and some of them don't. I think it really depends.
Yeah, no, it is fascinating to see because there really is no precedent for any of it, right? Because Big Ben, you brought the Big Ben, there was two different things, right? There was the Lake Tahoe thing, there was the Atlanta thing, and neither of them came to any sort of criminal charges. And then there was also the motorcycle deal, like I think which is in between where it wasn't anything criminal, but he wasn't wearing a helmet. He went over the handlebars of his motorcycle and then he got suspended for 6 games, you know? And then, I mean, like the whole thing is just, I don't know what you do with Deshaun Watson. It is.
What about with DeAndre Baker just recently? I mean, people thought he was going to jail for the rest of his life and nothing happened. So I don't know. I think a lot of it has to do, to be honest with you, when people have a lot of money, they can afford really good attorneys, and really good attorneys can get you out of trouble. It's not all the time. You've seen with Bill Cosby or Harvey Weinstein, it doesn't work. But a lot of times, these things in terms of football, it has worked.
Yeah, no question. And look, there are, and the other side is also true, right? Where there are attorneys that can take on cases that are fairly frivolous, thinking I'm going to get my 33%, and they can find a way because it's easier and smarter for many of these guys to just write a check and make it go away, so we don't get to this point.
Right, exactly. And probably a lot of them do. And if you don't want to, and you haven't, like if Deshaun Watson felt that he was innocent and he didn't want to give in to any type of a demand and have to pay someone. And if in, you know, an alternate universe, all of this stuff is completely false, then look at what he's been dragged through. Look at what he has to go through. If in fact what you're saying is true, the attorney just wants money, the women just want money. Now, a lot of people doubt that because you've got 20 plus women, you know, all making very, very similar claims. But Busby is doing anything and everything he can to really just put this whole thing on display. I think he's talking, he said he's talking to a lot of other investigative authorities. He might go to other states. He might go to federal authorities if he hasn't already. He's cooperating with the NFL. He's not just stopping with the civil suits and the criminal suits. He's going to other states. He's talking about, he's got a trafficking expert at his press conference talking about human trafficking and likening what happened to these women to forced prostitution. He's talking to the NFL. I mean, he's literally taking every avenue to hold this guy accountable because he feels, you know, based on the allegations that he's put forward.
Yeah, it's amazing. It reminds me a little bit of Mike Vick. Like Mike Vick, he had an out early in it when he met with Roger Goodell, but he lied to Roger Goodell. And that's why the whole weight of the law came down on him, right? It wasn't. And again, I don't know to what level Deshaun Watson is guilty of it, but I'm guessing that there was a moment a month ago or so where it could have gone away. And he probably was like, I didn't do any of this. I ain't paying anybody a penny. And now you got a lawyer who's going to find anything you've ever done wrong. It's going to be interesting. Amy, I can't tell you how much. Go ahead.
By the way, it could also be he didn't do anything and he wanted to protect and proclaim his innocence. Or it could be he never felt that it would get to this level. He felt that he was too much in his, you know, realm of power and fame, and maybe these women couldn't touch him.
Awesome stuff, Amy. I appreciate you joining us. It's always a tough topic, but you know how to tackle them. We appreciate you joining
us. Thank you. Thanks so much, Doug.
All right, that's Amy Dash, super talented woman. You see her on TV. She's also our Fox Sports Radio legal analyst. You can follow her on TV at Amy Dash TV. How do I know she's on TV? It's in the Twitter handle. Yeah, dopes.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, I'm John Middlecoff, and I host the 3 and Out podcast. Do you like football? Do you like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Quarterbacks, coaches? Well, I talk about it all on the show. I used to work for Andy Reid as a scout. Now I give you my unfiltered and raw opinions on everything that goes on in the NFL. And you know we're talking college football because of how important the draft is year round. Listen to the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. We got an awesome show for you. John Middlecoff next hour. Kurt Heelan next hour. Terry Lofton from the Sports Business Journal in 2 hours. Hustler Turf Equipment has the most complete lineup of residential and commercial zero-turn lawnmowers in the industry. And with over 1,000 dealers across the nation, there's a Hustler Turf dealer near you. Visit HustlerTurf.com. That's HustlerTurf.com. Let's get to a game.
This is Game Time.
It's Game Time.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Buyer.
Doug, the game today is...
Real news, fake news.
All right, real news or fake news that a report from The Athletic says that Kawhi Leonard will test free agency this upcoming offseason.
That's fake news.
You are fake news.
Yeah, one for one. In the report from Sam Amick and others, it said, quote, while this league has certainly taught us to expect the unexpected, the truth is that Leonard is still widely expected to re-sign with the Clippers. That's the word from Clippers sources and rival executives.
Interesting.
Yeah, which would be because we always think that, you know, maybe Kawhi would be looking at other places or wasn't necessarily happy with how things have gone down with the Clippers, but saying that he's likely going to be back. All right, moving on. Real news or fake news, Doug? The 49ers and Washington football team inquired about Jets quarterback Sam Darnold earlier this offseason.
That's real news.
They're real, and they're spectacular.
Yes, it is. Obviously, before the 49ers moved up to number three in the draft and before Washington ended up signing Ryan Fitzpatrick, but there was some interest from both of those teams about the former Jets quarterback, now current Panthers quarterback, Sam Darnold.
No question, which is like the whole thing like this, there was their plan. I got to know more about it.
Mm-hmm.
I got to know more. Like the, hey, is he available? Sure. What are you guys thinking? Okay. We'll get back to you. Not our plan A, obviously. Like that makes sense. But if it was like a real conversation about it, then how did they get to this place where they traded up to get Mac, to get what we think is Mac Jones and keep Jimmy Garoppolo? That strikes me as weird.
Real news or fake news? That Buccaneers quarterback Tom Brady says his time in Tampa isn't really different from New England except for the weather. Is that real news or fake news?
Fake news.
You are fake news.
Yeah, in Good Morning America, Brady said, I was the new guy for the first time, and that was a really different experience. Saying that when you're in one place for 20 years, you think it's the only way, then you go somewhere else, and you're like, wow, you can do something a different way.
There are different ways to accomplish the same task. And look, they had great success and won a Super Bowl. Let's not forget that they were 7-5 at one point in the year and needing to kind of figure it out. It will be interesting to see how they handle success.
Real news or fake news, Jordan Spieth says he uses a mantra from Tom Brady to help in preparation and in competition.
That's real news.
You are fake news.
No, he uses a Bill Belichick mantra, the eliminate the noise. That's the message that Spieth likes to use, saying that he got the message when he went to a Patriots game prior to the Ryder Cup in 2016. Eliminate the noise is what Jordan Spieth says he focuses on as he tries to capture another green jacket.
Eliminate the noise.
Doug,
eliminate the noise.
Real news or fake news,
eliminate
Bryson,
the noise.
Bryson DeChambeau.
Eliminate! I'm trying to eliminate the noise here, Dan!
My wife does it by saying, shut up. Real news or fake news?
Shut up, Dan.
Real news or fake news? Bryson DeChambeau took time off from his preparation from the Masters by playing disc golf yesterday afternoon.
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
Yeah, this is kind of a random one.
Sure.
They're real, yes. And they're spectacular.
Good call. PGAtour.com had a story of a guy and his son showing up to play disc golf, and what do you know? They were ended up grouped with Bryson DeChambeau, who's recently taken up the sport. I like it. I'm not good at it. I've played it a few times, but I actually think it's pretty fun.
Buyer.
Finally, Doug, real news or fake news, Augusta National and the Masters are coming back to video games as it will be featured in another edition of EA Sports PGA Tour.
Oh, that's real news.
They're real, and they're
yes,
spectacular.
It is. It's been a while, almost a decade, but the game should be out prior to next year's Masters Tournament.
That's game, huh?
Game time.
This is Game Time on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. All right.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.